Sorry for that delay. All right. If you want to read along, let's go to Daniel. Chapter 9. Now in Romans chapter 3, it is said, but now the righteousness of God is revealed without the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So in the law, or the first five books of Moses, the what's called the Pentateuch, the law gave witness to the righteousness that was to be brought in by the seed of woman when he would bruise the serpent's head. And it was in that promise that that witness was given. So there it is in the law, and there are several places in the law that we could go that that promise is witnessed. But then it is also witnessed in the prophets. In the prophet Daniel, it is witnessed in the prophecy of the 70 weeks, and that's where I'd like to begin today. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on what is meant by the 70 weeks, because there's been books and volumes of books written on that, and we're just about as well off as we were when they started. Some say it begins with the first commandment from Cyrus to go forth and rebuild the temple, and some say it's after that. So we don't know just when it started. If we knew when it started, we might have a little better idea of when it would end, but we don't. But it is 77s are determined. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city. And that's 70 weeks of 7 years per week, 490 years, 70 heptades. Or heptads, however we'd want to pronounce it. But 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. Now there's about six things here that's going to happen by the end, that will have happened by the end of these 70 weeks. And one of them is to finish the transgression. The second is to make an end of sins. The third is to make reconciliation. And the fourth is to bring in everlasting righteousness. The fifth is to seal up the vision and prophecy. And the sixth is to anoint the most holy. Now, those are things that our Lord Jesus Christ did in his life and death while he was here on earth. And let's begin with the first one there, which is to finish the transgression. Now, just to put this very simply, dead people do not transgress the law. They just don't. And we are dead with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's look at a few scriptures along this line. Let's begin with with Galatians 2:20. This is how we died. I am, the Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Paul, as a member of the body of Christ, which we all are, all believers are a member of the body of Christ. Paul, speaking as a member of the body of Christ and for all the members of the body of Christ, said, I am crucified with Christ, so that every believer has a right by the word of God to claim death in the Lord Jesus Christ and fellowship with Christ, or a partaker in that death of Christ, because of God-given faith. Look at Philippians 3:10. Now we'll come back here to that, but look at Philippians 3:10 right now. Philippians 3:10, that I might know Him. Want to know the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His resurrection. Now it is the Spirit that quickeneth. As Brother Bill brought out, it is the Spirit that gives life. And it is the Spirit of Christ that gives life. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, as the Father hath life in Himself and raiseth up the dead, even so hath the Son life in Himself, and He quickeneth who He will. So the Lord Jesus Christ sends His Spirit, and the Spirit quickens the objects of the love of God and nobody else. It quickens those whom God has loved from everlasting life. So the presence of the Spirit teaches us that we are the children of God. Well, how do you know if you have the Spirit? If you know that Jesus is the Christ. No man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost, 1 Corinthians 12:3. Now, he says there let's turn over and read it. But I want to read this in Colossians here first. Colossians 3:10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Well, we can know we've experienced the power of His resurrection when we believe, because we have life. Life comes by the presence of the Spirit. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. Power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Now we know that we have fellowship in His sufferings, being put to death with Christ at Calvary. Else we could not have the Holy Spirit, and else we couldn't live. We wouldn't be alive unto God. We would not believe. Believers are dead in trespasses and in sins. Or unbelievers are dead in trespasses and sins, and believers are quickened from that death. Therefore, all these things apply to them. That I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His suffering, being conformable unto His death, which is being given up ourselves into the will of God. And I believe that every believer, when they pray, after they've made their desires and cast their cares upon the Lord, they finish up their prayers. Somewhere in that prayer they'll say, Lord, not my will, but Thine be done. And that is giving up our will to the will of God. Mm-hmm. Being willing, Thy people shall be willing in the day of Thy power. We know that we do not have infinite wisdom. We know that we don't know the end from the beginning. We know that our thoughts are not God's thoughts, and we know that we do not know the program of God for our lives. So whatever comes our way, we are glad and we have joy in the Lord, because we know the final outcome is going to be victory over sin and death. And so we say, Lord, Thy will be done. All right, now back to Galatians 2:20, where the Apostle Paul said, and he said this for believers, I am crucified with Christ. Well, look at Romans 6:8. Now, if we're crucified with Christ, then we're dead with Christ. Romans 6:8. Now if we be dead with Christ, Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. All right, look over at 7:4. We're dead with Christ. Wherefore, brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, crucified with Christ, dead with Christ, dead to the law by the body of Christ. Look at Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law. We're dead to the law by the body of Christ, but you're under grace. Now look at Romans 4:15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. So the transgression is finished. The Lord Jesus Christ has finished the transgression. You cannot transgress a law that you don't have, that you're not under. So the long and the short of it is, you cannot sin to the point that God would condemn you. For there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen.
And blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Well, then should we sin that grace may abound? Should we go out and do just anything that comes in our brain? And you know what all kind of things come in your brain. Well, no, we shouldn't do that. Otherwise, you're using your liberty as a cloak for the flesh. Nay, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now, how is it that the children of God, how is it, and you all know this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. How is it that the children of God are crucified with Christ, but not the rest of the world? And it's the same question, Lord, that I believe was Philip. Maybe asked the Lord, said, Lord, how will you manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? Well, it all hangs on our covenant union with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the vine and ye are the branches.
Amen.
We live the same life. Look at Colossians 3 again. We live by the same life. If ye then be risen with Christ, risen from the dead by the quickening of the Spirit. If ye then be risen with Christ, set those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, having died in the Lord Jesus Christ with him at Calvary. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Look at 2 Thessalonians. Let's just glance at this while we're here close by. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. And we'll read 2:13 and 14. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. Well, let's look back a few verses. I'll bring this in here. let's look back. Let's begin reading at verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness of them that believe, that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something to think about? We are beloved of the Father as the Father loved the Lord Jesus Christ, John 17:23. And that the world may know that thou hast loved them and hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, thou lovest me from the foundation of the world. So the Father has loved us as he loved the Lord Jesus Christ and has called us to obtaining that glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That just goes beyond what I'm able to imagine. But anyway, the question is, how is it that we are partakers, we have fellowship in his sufferings and the power of his resurrection, and the world doesn't? And it's because of that eternal union that exists between the head and the body from eternity past, and is manifested in the choice that God the Father made of those whom he loved in Christ. God has loved a people with an everlasting love. He has loved them as he loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and he chose them in a covenant of grace, and he gave them to the Lord Jesus Christ, and at the same time, well, time had nothing to do with this. This is all without beginning. This has always been. That he wrote their name in heaven in the Lamb Book of Life. Hebrews 12:23 and Revelation 21:27. So that union has existed that binds the head and the body together from everlasting. Our Lord Jesus said, Christ said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Now the same sap flows in the vine, in the true vine, and in its branches. The same Spirit is in us. He hath given us of his Spirit, 2 Corinthians 4:13. And if you cut the vine, what happens to the branches? Well, what happens to the vine? The vine dies if you cut it, and the branches die. The branches die with the vine. They'll all dry up together. And we are crucified, we are cut off with the Lord Jesus Christ. After 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. For the branches that's in the vine. He's the head and we are the body. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 12. For as the body is one, the Lord's not got two churches. He doesn't have two wives. He's got one church, one body. For the body is one and hath many members. That's all the believers. And those believers are the fullness of the body of Christ. Those believers make up that body of Christ, who filleth all the members of that body. It is Christ that dwelleth in you. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. So is the Christ full, is the fullness of all the believers. And we and the believers make up the fullness of Christ. And that is that one new man, that perfect man. It is that mystical man. That man that has been hid in the mystery of the gospel and in the mind of God without beginning. That will be brought to glory, arrayed in the perfect righteousness, that beautiful garment, the providing that was provided for by the life and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these things are not maybe. This is not it might happen. This is done. Mm-hmm. It's a done deal.
Amen.
It was finished when it came into the mind of God, as good as finished right then when he asserted his will that it should be. But all of these things had to actually happen in time. You actually had to be born of your mother, and so did I.
Mm-hmm.
We had to be given a being. Our Lord Jesus Christ had to come here and actually pay the debt. My mom had to marry my dad in order for me to be. All, everything that God has determined to bring to pass, it's going to come to pass. Everyone is here this morning that God has ordained to be here this morning.
Yeah. Amen.
Just a few. But not everybody has the privilege of sitting under the gospel.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Just a few. There were 99 that were lost in the wilderness and left in the wilderness, and there's one that the Lord Jesus went after, and that ratio may be accurate. 1 in 100. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. The new man. That one perfect man. Look at look at Romans or Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edification of itself in love. God gave some apostles, some prophets, some teachers, some pastors, and some this, some that, for the perfection of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ until we all come into that to that one new man. Now look at we'll look back up here at verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of Christ. Now, I don't have the same gifts you all do in the same measure that you all do. None of us have the same gifts in the same measure. It's all depending on what Christ will give. If you're strong in faith, it's because Christ gave you strong faith. If you love deeply, then that's because Christ gave you that ability. We are all, by the grace of God, we are what we are. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth, and he that descended, the same also ascended far up above all heavens that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, that we might grow up and be mature believers and not be carried about with every wind of doctrine and every seducing spirit that Satan's in our way. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That one new man, which is Christ, the head of the body, and his body, the church. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that ye henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and by cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ.
Amen.
Now that is the reason that God hath begotten us again according to his own will. Well, the vine and its branches are one. The head, and look at Ephesians 1:23 while we're here in the book of Ephesians. And hath put all things under his feet and given him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him, that one new man, that one mystical man, which is Christ, in his members, not Christ personal, but Christ mystical, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. God fills each of us with the measure of grace that he has determined to give us. I'm the vine, you're the branches. He's the head, we are the body, and we are all living stones that are built together for inhabitation of God through the Spirit. That temple of God, which is a habitation of God through the Spirit. Look at Ephesians 2:18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now God drew up the blueprint for this building, and he placed every member, every brick, every stone, every living stone in the building as it pleased him, and he prepared the stones for the building and the building for the stones. And if one stone is missing, then the temple of God be incomplete. And God is not going to live in an incomplete temple. We are from eternity and without beginning in the Lord Jesus Christ, justified by his blood, the whole thing finished when it came into the mind of God. But it all actually had to play out here on this stage of the earth that God has prepared for the actuation of this whole drama that is set forth in the Scriptures. So because of the union that exists between the head and the body, God is justified when he imputes the sin of the body to the head. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18. And also, God is justified when he imputes the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ to the members of his body. Look at Proverbs 17:15. Proverbs 17:15. Now listen to these words. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Well, didn't the Lord justify the wicked? I'm a wicked man. I'm a sinner. Look at Romans 4:8. No, 4:5. Now listen. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. That's to justify the wicked. Well, how is God justified in justifying the ungodly or in justifying the wicked? When he said over here in Proverbs, well, he that justifieth the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Is God an abomination to himself? Now, that's where this false doctrine that got among the Sovereign Grace churches here a while back, they said, well, in view of this in Proverbs 17:15, Christ had to have sin before sin could have been accounted to him. Well, that's a flat lie.
Oh, Lord.
Because that passes by and does not take into account the covenant of grace and the union of the head and the body, which has been from everlasting.
Amen.
And it is that union. You know, if my hand reaches out and takes something that's not mine, my head's going to jail with the rest of me. That's just the way it is. We were in union with the Lord Jesus Christ when we sinned. And God imputed that sin to the head of this body. We'll look at Psalm 38:4. Now this is a Psalm of David speaking by prophecy for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, for mine iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. The Lord Jesus Christ had no personal sins. He committed no sin. In him is no sin. He is the undefiled, perfect Son of God. He is God in human flesh. He has no sin, but sin was laid to his charge, was imputed to him. And because of the union between the head and the body, he owns those sins as his own. And because of that, when he was reviled and persecuted and nailed to that cross, he didn't object saying, "I'm innocent." He was silent as a lamb to the slaughter. He didn't try to justify himself because God had condemned him because sin was found on him, but not his own sin. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Now, by that same union, look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us by imputation, by laying our sins upon him. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now, believers are made the very righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Look at Colossians 2:9. "For in him," that is in Christ Jesus, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily," God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The fullness of them dwells in the human tabernacle, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily," but that's not all. You dwell there too. And listen, "and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." That is when he puts his spirit in us and the spirit gives us life. Now, you know, even back in the time of Galatians, they said, "Well, this salvation is fine that you fellas are talking about. Yeah, that's good. But you've got to add a little to it. You've got to," in Galatians, they said, "well, you've got to be circumcised. You've got to keep the law in order to be saved." That's Satan's lie. Anything that anybody would add to the doctrine of Christ or add to the gospel or something that you've got to do to be saved, that person, you can mark it down, write it down in your record book, that person is a liar and a false prophet and is the servant of Satan. Mm-hmm. We know the truth. Let's not be carried away with every wind of doctrine. Let's grow up into him. Mm-hmm. And I'm confident we are. We've grown in our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you've got all there ain't any point in seeking anything else.
Ain't nothing else.
The Lord turned to Peter and he said, or to his disciples, said, "Would you also go away?" They said, "Well, where would we go? Well, where would we go to find any better than what we've got? There ain't anything any better. We have the doctrine of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the truth. We have the knowledge of God. And that's all we need."
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can grow in that truth. But when somebody would come along and want to take us someplace else... And I have, this stays on my mind. When I'm gone, whenever that is, and the Lord knows when that is, I hope that this church will stand fast in the truth, regardless if there's just two or three. And I hope that some free willer won't come in here and have nice big white teeth and a smile as broad as your face and be a good entertainer and carry the church away. Guard the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not.